Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Washington, D.C. What up, what up, what up? It's football season, baby. I'm AWOD. Time to get up and at 'em here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital just after 9 a.m. here on a Saturday, September 7th. There's a full slate of college football. Week 2 games highlighted by Texas. Hook 'em against Michigan at 12 noon. The Hokies against Marshall in their home opener. That's a must-win. I mean, you have to bounce back if you're Virginia Tech after the disappointing loss on the road to Vanderbilt week one in year three of the Coach Pry era. We're going to talk a little Hokies with Lurch Papa from the Sports Junkies. He was there in Nashville to see that game against Vanderbilt. Hokies came back from 17-0 but lose in overtime. So we'll talk to Lurch at 10:30. Chris Russell, whenever he lands, if he can land in time, he's going to the Commanders-Bucks game. Of course, I am live and local here till 11 a.m., cutting us off a little early because the Nats were rescheduled. So we'll have Doc Walker from 11 to 1, and then the Nats here on 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. And you guys know I'm fired up this morning because tomorrow is the NFL. And last night was an NFL game. And Thursday was an awesome NFL game to kick off the season with the Chiefs defeating the Ravens by a toe. Is this going to be the toe season, Max? Protect the feet. Here we go. For months we talked about the draft, right? And then we talked about training camp and practice. Practice, not a game, practice. Jaden was so accurate in practice, right? Throwing into the little net there at practice was making everybody go crazy. Well, tomorrow we're going to find out if it translates to a game, a real game, the first game, and a road test for Dan Quinn and the Washington Commanders to kick off the DQ era. And I truly think, win or lose, I care about two things the most. And obviously I want this team to win a million games, but there's two things I care about more this season than winning. And that's Jaden's development, right, staying healthy. Can't have the RG3 situation happen where the end of the first season with all this hype ends with a knee injury and he's never the same, right? That's the number one thing. Got to stay healthy. Improve throughout the season. Well, also, he's got to prove to the coaching staff, to the fan base, to the league why he was the number two overall pick. That's the most important thing for this season. Win or lose, no matter what the record is, can Jaden develop and get better and have our franchise quarterback moving forward as we have some building blocks led by GM Adam Peters and the work he did in this year's offseason. The second thing, I don't know about you guys, but it kills me what I watched on the field last season, especially the second half of the season. I want to see more of a competitive attitude from this roster because I kind of think that the guys that weren't competitive at the end of the year, Dan Quinn saw that. He noticed it. They're out the door, right? Nobody around the National Football League got rid of more players than Washington. We said, brand new era. We're going to start over, right? If this coaching staff did not draft you, if they did not develop you, if they did not sign you, they might not develop you, all right? And you point to Jahan Dotson, boom, as number one right there, right? They didn't care. It wasn't working out, wasn't fitting their schemes. He's gone. And so the second thing I want to see this season is a competitive attitude to be in games, until the fourth quarter, to fight for every yard. On defense, simply tackle better in space. And as a team, right? I mean, that was just so frustrating the second half of the season, last few games last year. It just felt like guys were deciding, hey, I don't want to make this tackle because I don't want to get hurt and I want to get a paycheck. That's what it looked like watching this. It was embarrassing watching the Commanders at the end of last season. So I want to see this team fight for old DC. Make me proud to watch this football team once again. Because seriously, it got so bad last season. It got to the point where I didn't want to watch the games. And I'm the kind of Commanders fan, Skins fan, bleeds burgundy and gold, was a season ticket holder for 17 years, where I wake up on Sunday and it's the only thing I think about. I don't want to eat breakfast. I don't care about lunch. I want to watch football. I want to watch my team play. It's the most important thing to me every single week. That's how much I care about this team. But last year, the last few weeks, I didn't even want to watch. And when I did watch, I found myself rooting for them to lose and get a better draft pick. And that killed me. Deep down, it hurt me so much to watch this team lose so much. 4 wins was awful. And we've dealt with way too many losing seasons as a fan base here. And I'm tired of that. And I'm sure you're tired of that. And so the second thing I want to see, it's wins or losses, is a change in the culture where it appears like this team can be competitive. And they've made some great first steps towards that with the demeanor of the players at practice, their attitude. They're fired up to compete. It feels like there's a brotherhood once again where they want to run through the wall for their coach, but they also respect him. They trust his schemes. And there's a good communication between the players and the coaches. But let's get to the field, right? That's when things really get started tomorrow. 4:25 on the road against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Can Dan Quinn and Joe Witt's schemes be enough to improve what was an awful defense that finished the season ranked 32nd out of 32 in the National Football League? Offensively, will Cliff Kingsbury was one time known as a boy wonder, right? Young head coach for the Arizona Cardinals, had them cooking to start a couple seasons. Well, is he going to make the most of his second chance opportunity in the National Football League? This might be his last chance to run an offense in the NFL. There's a million questions going into this season. A million questions. But one thing that Washington has going for them, at least in their favor week one in my mind, is the unknown. There's all these questions that we don't know the answer to. There's a lot of unknown in Washington. And that's because there's so much new, from the new GM to the new coach to the new coaching staff to the new quarterback to the new linebacker to the new running back to the new tight end. It's everything new here. Tampa Bay's not going to really know what to expect. Washington needs to use the unknown to their advantage. If they want to steal a road victory in week one to start the Dan Quinn era, they've got to use the unknown to their advantage. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. You can always tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. And so what would Washington using the unknown to their advantage look like? Well, I'll start offensively with Jaden Daniels. You can watch all the college game tape on him you want, from ASU to LSU. Right, especially that Florida game last season when he was at his best. That was last season. That was LSU, not the National Football League. And I think nobody really knows what to expect from Jaden in terms of how much he will run, how much he will throw deep. I think we all saw in preseason he wants to take a couple deep shots. We saw how comfortable he is running the ball. And nobody knows how Cliff Kingsbury is going to use Jaden Daniels. How much will he have designed runs versus scrambling runs, right? I think, and I talked about this a little bit last week with you guys, I think he runs a ton week one. Like, I'm going over 65 rushing yards. I'm going over 7 carries. And I just think that's Jaden Daniels, JD5. That's his secret weapon. It's his legs. And he's going to use it. He has to, right? And there's obviously the case to be made that he needs to save his body from the big hits. He was driving reckless at times last year at LSU. He's going to last a full season. Well, not if he takes those hits, right? And that's obviously a huge concern, but I don't think you should think like that. I think injuries are so random sometimes that you should think like this. Like, hey, what is Jaden's biggest strength? His ability to run to get out of tight situations. He's going to run to pick up first downs because he's competitive. He wants to stay on the field. I mean, I just guarantee you, there's going to be a 3rd and 6. There might even be like a 3rd and 10 where Jaden should just throw it away and live to fight another down. But being a rookie, being such a competitor, he's going to try to complete it with either a crazy pass downfield or with his legs. And he might run into contact. He might run into a hit. But that's what he's going to do. He's going to do everything to try to stay on the field because that's the competitor he is. And I think if he can run successfully, it creates a totally different dynamic and this different dimension to the offense where it'll open up the field because Tampa might have to use a spy on Jaden Daniels. That will leave openings at tight end, one-on-one coverage on the outside with Terry McLaurin. I mean, I'm telling you, if Jaden Daniels, his secret weapon is running, he needs to use his secret weapon. And we cannot be scared of an injury. And early on in this season, until the film is out on how he likes to run, when he likes to run, because defenses will adjust. It's the one thing I truly believe in the NFL is defenses always adjust when they get game tape. So Washington needs to use Jaden and his ability to take advantage of these situations on third and short, on plays that are extended, play-action rollouts. Just go and run and take off and pick up the first down if you can, because that's the unknown right now in the National Football League. How much is Jaden Daniels going to run? And when he does run, is he going to slide? Is he going to cut up field and try to get more yards? We need him to be careful with his body, but I need him to use his secret weapon if we're going to be competitive this season and have a chance to win week one against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. We're rocking and rolling here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. This is 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back on The Fan. Welcome back, Washington, D.C. sports fans. What up, what up, what up? It's A-Wad here on a Saturday morning, September 7th. And I'm so glad we get to talk about regular season football now. Big game coming up tomorrow, week one. It's the beginning of the Adam Peters, Dan Quinn era in D.C., and if everything goes right for new owner Josh Harris, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn will be here for the foreseeable future, right? I mean, you do not want to have to replace your GM or your head coach every 3 to 5 years. That's not how a good team does it in the National Football League. If the Commanders are really building something, it'll be Peters and Quinn behind this team for a while. And you've got a new face at quarterback that we're all hoping is the new franchise quarterback here for the Commanders, Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Jaden Daniels. Talk about week one, the opponent, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Yes, the Bucs were a playoff team last year, but I don't think they did enough in the offseason to improve off of that. The Bucs focused more on bringing the band back together. All right, Mike Evans is back, Chris Godwin. Baker Mayfield had 28 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. Can he replicate that? We'll see how good they are. But I think Washington is the team with a ton of unknowns, and Jaden Daniels needs to run a good amount because that's our biggest unknown, our biggest X factor week one. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, or tweet me at AWOD Radio, at 1067 The Fan. Curtis says, AWOD, it's going to look like a team that is prepared to play and fired up to play. Last season, Ron Rivera, with his arms crossed on the sideline, with no emotion, epitomized this team. Unprepared and flat. Let's get back to inspiring football. I love that from Curtis. We're going to see a different approach on the sidelines. Really, Dan Quinn's just going to be the opposite of Ron Rivera. He's going to be a screamer. He's going to be stomping up and down that sidelines. Ron Rivera, just so tired of him with his arms crossed on the sidelines. It got old quick. So, we talked about the unknown helping out Washington offensively. How does the unknown help Washington defensively? Because the unknown is the biggest advantage Washington has over the Bucs. Nobody knows what we're going to do. We've got a new coaching staff, and we've got basically 50% new players on the field. Well, nobody can really say how much of an impact Bobby Wagner over Cody Barton at linebacker will be until they strap the helmets on week one. Because Bobby Wagner didn't play in the preseason. And last year, he led the National Football League in tackles, right? So you add Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, Cleland Farrell, Jeremy Chinn to a defense, and you wonder, how much does that new talent really improve this defense? How much does Joe Witt Jr.'s schemes change the defense? Nobody knows what to expect. Last year, this team gave up explosive play after explosive play. They let other teams convert third down conversions at way too high of a rate, and they gave up simply way too many points for their offense to have a chance to win. I go back to the two Eagles games last year as a failure for this defense. Your offense scores 31 points and you lose both games. Let's see how it plays out Sunday. But I think Washington could really pressure Baker Mayfield. And you're talking about a new-look defensive line. Yes, you still have the guys in the middle, but the outside is brand new. No Chase Young, Montez Sweat. It's Dorn Strongstrom, Cleland Farrell, maybe a little Jamin Davis or Frankie Louvill on the outside as well. But I think if they could put some pressure on Baker Mayfield, they could force a turnover in this game. And it's something that Dan Quinn's defenses excelled at last season in Dallas. They were so good at creating turnovers. And I think that's a crucial factor in terms of making things easier for Jaden, right? Get Jaden the ball in plus territory once or twice this game. And that would make it easier for the offense to put points on the board. And then there's the special teams unknown as well, right? So defensively, I think the biggest unknown is, on paper, are a middle linebacker, like in just like a Madden rating. We went from like a 70 to like a 92, right? From Cody Barton, David Mayo, to Bobby Wagner. What kind of impact does that make on the field, though? Right, I think it will make a big impact in terms of the amount of rushing yards we're able to give up. Bobby Wagner has been so good throughout his career at clogging holes in the middle. And I talked to Doc Walker about this last week, and Doc's going to come up at 11. He can definitely speak on this again. But he thinks that having Bobby Wagner is going to make things so much easier for Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne, because those guys have had so much on their plate. And now they've got a big middle linebacker behind them that's going to help them get into the hole there and stop the running game and try to make teams one-dimensional. So I think that's the biggest unknown for Washington is, hey, Bobby Wagner. I mean, this is the best middle linebacker we've had since since London Fletcher, and it's not even close. And if you're a true Commanders Redskins fan, you know that London Fletcher was a dog. Like, London Fletcher was a defensive MVP for this team for season after season, it felt like. Let's go over to the special teams unknown. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. I believe Jamison Crowder will handle punt return. I have no idea who will be the kick returner. Byron Pringle was number one on the depth chart. He was released. Olamide Zaccheaus is number two. I don't think it's going to be him. Listen to J.P. Finley's podcast, Beltway Football Podcast. He thinks there's going to be a surprise kick returner on Sunday. Could it be Luke McCaffrey? Or are they going to save him for the offensive side of the ball? Jeremy McNichols, right? There's a reason McNichols made this roster over Rodriguez and Wiley. I'm not really sure it's going to be. It could be a complete unknown that we haven't talked about. Like a De'Ami Brown, Mike Sanders still, Emmanuel Forbes. I don't know. I just know that I trust this coaching staff to put a guy out there at kick return to make a play. We also have to trust our field goal kicker to come through with his opportunities on Sunday. I mean, that's also a huge unknown, because I do think this is a game that's going to be probably within 7 points, within one score, and you just cannot have a special teams disaster, a missed field goal, a blocked punt, a kick return that goes into plus territory. The special team unknown, Washington will have to be able to convert their field goal opportunities. But there's so many unknowns. I think Washington can get off to a fast start, and they can absolutely win this game Sunday in Tampa. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Thanks to Keith and my guy Eddie, who tweets me that he's listening this morning. Let's go out to the phone lines. We've got John in Newburgh. What's going on, John?
Hey, how you doing, A-Rod? How are you?
I'm good, man. Happy Saturday.
Hey, same to you, sir. Hey, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but the wide receiver room.
Yeah.
And now that they released Pringle, I just wonder if I could get your opinion. How do you feel? Because Tampa's got some good wide receivers down there.
Yeah. And their wide receivers, it's going to be a huge test for us defensively. We're going to rely on Emmanuel Forbes to make plays. Michael Davis, Benjamin St. Juice. I do think that Washington's game plan will be Mike Sanders still to stay with Chris Godwin in the slot. Wherever he lines up, I do think that's going to be the plan. But for Washington's wide receiver room, John, I think Pringle being released has way more to do with the quarterback situation. The fact that Marcus Mariota is out week one, so that Jeff Driscoll will then be the backup. They're going to have a third quarterback ready as part of the emergency quarterback rule now in the NFL. So I think it had more to do with that. But also, It changes the kick return, like I was just talking about, because I do think Pringle would have been the team's starting kick returner. Now I really don't know what to expect. I wasn't expecting Pringle to play much offensively in terms of the wide receivers. I do think Noah Brown, De'Ami Brown are ahead of him. Luke McCaffrey, we know, is a starter on the depth chart. And then Jamison Crowder, we'll get in there as well. But, you know, I think in terms of wide receivers, it's going to be a lot of targeting Scary Terry McLaurin. John, I appreciate you chiming in. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. I did want to mention here, I do think Scary Terry could have his best statistical season in the National Football League. I'm expecting him to go over 1,000 yards, as he's done almost every single season. He averages basically 1,010 yards. And I think he can get his most touchdowns he's ever had. His rookie season had 7. I think he can get to 8 this season, as I expect Cliff Kingsbury and Jay Daniels to target their wide receiver 1. Because there's not really an established wide receiver 2 on the roster. And then they're also going to throw a lot towards Zach Ertz to start the season. I heard JP talking about that on his show. He's in on a Zach Ertz anytime touchdown. I like that as well. Phone lines are open. You can always tweet us your thoughts as well. At 1067TheFan, at AWide Radio, 1-800-636-1067. All right, before we go behind enemy lines and talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, let's give out our season-long predictions, all right? We've gone on record a few times. Will this team win 7 games? Could they win 10 games? Who's going to be the team MVP? The divisional record? How will the NFC East play out? Who's going to be the rookie of the year? And what would make you happy? What would make you upset at the end of the season in terms of the season-long record? We'll go about give out our season-long predictions coming up next on The Fan. Welcome back, Commanders fans. Tomorrow's game day. We've been waiting all year long for football to return, and man, was that an awesome game on Thursday night. I mean, so much fun back and forth there with Lamar, the new-look Ravens, and King Henry. But the Super Bowl champs prevail. Patrick Mahomes, too clutch, too good, leading his team down the field. It is the Chiefs that win the first game. Then Philadelphia starts the season with a win, a bounce back for the Eagles after the way their season ended, a disappointing loss for the Packers in that one, and could be really bad news with Jordan Love. But we got a full slate of NFL games going down on Sunday. We'll go around the National Football League in the 10 o'clock hour, and I'll give you some winners. But right now, we wanted to go through our season-long predictions for the Washington Commanders. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, or tweet us your thoughts at 1067TheFan, at AWide Radio. So, Max, I want to hear from you first. I've gone on the record a few times. I was drinking the Kool-Aid at one point, moved it up to 10-7 after what I saw from Jaden at training camp. So I'll hold off for a second. I'll let you go first with your season-long prediction for the Commanders.
So I did a lot of the same early on. I want to believe. I think the ceiling is 10 or 11 wins, but more realistically, I think we're probably going to finish around 6 or 7, and that's where I'd like us to be. I don't want us to like get too ahead of ourselves and make the like. I'm not going to say I'd be disappointed if we made the playoffs, but I don't think it would be healthy long-term for this team to have those expectations on them like right from the jump. So that's kind of what I'm looking for, 6 or 7 wins. That's the hope.
My take is if Jaden Daniels is healthy and he plays 17 games, this team wins 7.
Yeah.
This team wins 7 if he is healthy. And there's a pathway towards getting up to 10. But I'll go on a record with my official prediction being 8-9. I think this team improves off of last season, doubles the amount of wins that they did with Ron Rivera. Health is a big factor in getting to 8 wins, and it starts with a week 1 victory. It starts maybe even 2-0 with the Giants coming to Washington second week of the season here. It starts with a hot start. We never saw that under Ron Rivera. Cliff Kingsbury has been known for that throughout his time in the National Football League. Can Cliff and Dan get a couple wins to start the season? Man, would that get this fan base fired up? So I'm on record 8-9. Max, team MVP. I kind of spoiled this last segment there. I really think it's going to be Terry McLaurin. I feel bad for the kid who's done everything that you can do in the National Football League. He's won jump balls. He's created separation on routes. He's caught passes from about 10 different quarterbacks in the league. Can he get some consistency in throwing from Jaden Daniels? Can Jaden Daniels be accurate on the deep ball? Because I really think that's another part of Terry's game that has been missing with bad quarterback plays. He can beat people on the fly route. It doesn't have to be De'Ami Brown going deep. It can be Terry McLaurin as well. He really can run all the routes. And so he's my team MVP because I think he's going to have his best statistical season in the NFL. I'm saying 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns for Scary Terry. Yeah, he will have that nickname back once again this season, scaring defensive backs. Scary Terry will be the team MVP, Max.
I like that. I'm going to go on the other side of the football for a rookie who I think is going to have an incredible year and who's going to make a name for himself right out of the jump. I think Mike Sainristil is going to be the defensive MVP. And this is crazy saying that on a defense with Bobby Wagner, Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, all of them. But I think Mike Sainristil is going to show very quickly that he is by far our best corner. We're going to see him move around a lot. We're going to see him match up with, team's number ones because I think he can handle that and he's got the confidence to be able to handle that. So give me Mike Sainristil for a team MVP this year.
You know, you mentioned this last week as well. I don't hate it. That's because 3 of the last 10 defensive rookie of the years have been cornerbacks.
Mm.
He's going to have his opportunity week one to make an impression on the National Football League going against Chris Godwin, who's a really talented wide receiver. He's had 3 straight seasons of 1,000 yards receiving, so that's going to be a huge test for our guy Mike Sainristil week one.
And also Mikey, if I may get this in, 30-1 to win defensive rookie of the year. Get those tickets in right now, folks.
So I'm on record with an 8-9 record, divisional record. I think we go from 0-6 to 2-4. I'm not sure if it's beating the Giants twice. We somehow usually slip up in one of those games, but I think maybe it's the Cowboys at home or the Eagles at home. I think we can get to 2-4 in the division. That would make me happy. I know the fan base is desperate to just beat the Giants twice, but 2-4 is my divisional record.
Yeah, division, it's going to be tough. I just don't believe in the Giants at all.
Yeah.
So 3-3 is probably where I'm going to stick.
Standings here for the NFC East. The Beasts of the East will get 2 teams into the playoffs once again in my mind. I've got the Eagles winning this division. We've not had back-to-back divisional champs as the Eagles, McNabb and Andy Reid in 2003, 2004. Cowboys snuck in the back door last 2 weeks of the season to win the division. They'll finish second. Even though I want them to have a train wreck of a season, Dak to get hurt, and CeeDee Lamb to do nothing for them after getting the big contract, I've talked with Dallas reporters, and I agree with them. If Dak stays healthy and Dak plays the level that they believe he can play, they'll win 10 games. They'll be in the postseason. That's first and second. I'll put the Commanders 3, Giants 4th. But unlike you, Max, I think the Giants are going to be competitive. I think Daniel Jones will return to a little bit more of his 2022 form. I think they will be really good defensively, and because of that, they'll be in games. My record for them is probably 7-10, but I think they're going to be better than people expect this season. There was just so many injuries, so many mistakes last year for the Giants. I think Brian Daboll is a good coach, and I think he knows he's coaching for his job. Would you agree with that, after watching Hard Knocks?
I absolutely think he's on the hot seat. But Joe Shane just believing in Daniel Jones, I'm sorry. I can't. Yeah. I can't. He. It's cartoonish how bad he is sometimes. And it's just, it's Nathan Peterman-esque. So I can't buy into Daniel Jones.
Well, that's what he throws,
possibly,
though.
Do it.
At times, he looks elite when he runs.
It's true.
You got to give him credit.
He does look like White Lamar out there.
He's fast as hell at times, right? Until he runs into the grass and trips himself.
Right.
Rookie of the year for the Commanders. I like what you said earlier. I'm going to go Mike Sainristil. I mean, look, if this team wins 8 games, it's obviously Jaden Daniels if he stays healthy. But I think in terms of who's going to make the biggest impact right away, I think it could be Mike Sainristil. At least I want to believe that that's what's going to happen. As there's so much to talk about this season, I want to throw this out there to the listeners. Going through this schedule, right, and when you've looked at the schedule, and I know there was a Washington Post article I read that hints to the fact that it's a lighter schedule for the Commanders that could make things easier and possibly even surprise a few people with their final record. And so, what would make you furious? What would make you just a little upset? What would you be content with What would make you super happy, elated? What would make you do a naked lap, right? For me, that's 12 wins. If we do 12 wins here, watch out, Broad Street. I'll be running down it, in my underpants because I just won't believe what I actually saw on TV. What would make me furious is 4 or 5 wins. If we cannot improve off of stinking Ron Rivera, then I will lose my blank. I really will. What would make me upset is if the divisional record is like 1-5. What would make me content? I would be fine with 6-11, 7-10, but Jaden Daniels steadily improves throughout the season. I'm very happy with 8-9, and elated with 10 wins, naked lap 12, and a playoff appearance. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. One thing I wanted to mention real quick, Max, I really like this Sam Cosmi deal. All right.
Love it.
He got the extension to 2028. He'll be here in Washington for the next 4 seasons. He earned it last year. The way Sam Cosmi played last year in an offensive line that was the worst in the National Football League, gave up, a bottom 5 number of sacks. I think it was 65 sacks. The only teams that gave up more sacks were teams that had running quarterbacks, right? I mean, it was just awful, that offensive line last year. So bad that I didn't even recognize how good Sam Cosmi was. But when you watch the tape, and when you hear from insiders around the league, he played so well, he earned this contract. And here's my deal. This is why I love this deal right before the start of the season. All right, so NFL owners around the league, Max, they're doing this bit that's like me when I was in 5th grade, where I tell my mom, hey, I have a school project that's due tomorrow, and I need a bunch of supplies from CVS. That's what the owners are doing with their contracts. Oh, Trent Williams isn't here? Damn, we're going to need to get that done. Cam Hayward? Yeah, the Steelers can't play without him. So all the owners around the league are doing these last-minute deals. And Washington was one of them with Sam Cosmi. But for Washington's deal, I think it does this. I think it shows everybody on the roster and everybody on the practice squad and everybody thinking of coming to Washington next year that, hey, we've got new ownership, we've got a new GM, a new coaching staff. If you have a season like Sam Cosmi did, you can get paid too. I think you're building a culture where everybody in the building knows you can get an extension if you earn it. If you do what he did, you can get a contract to be on this offensive line in the future as well. And I think it's the defensive side of the ball as well. Sam Cosmi, I like this deal because he earned it, and I think it shows everyone else that, hey, we're going to pay you if you earn it. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. We'll be right back on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We are simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Max is running the ones and twos. You can chime in, 1-800-636-1067. He'll put you on hold. You can talk to me here on AWOD Radio, 1-800-636-1067, or always tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio, at 106.7 The Fans. It's time to scout out the opponent from the inside. We've got a secret mission, AWOD Army members. It's time to go behind enemy lines here on AWOD Radio. So this week on my show in Richmond, you can hear on the Odyssey app, just search 910 The Fan. It's always available for you on the go for free. Have the podcast ready for you on your ride home as well. Best of AWOD Radio. I had J.C. Allen, Bucks reporter on the show to go behind enemy lines. And look, this is a Bucks team here. I made it very clear. I'm picking the Commanders to win because I think it's a Bucks team that didn't do enough to improve in the offseason. And he kind of agreed with me, but he said, look, Baker Mayfield has everything going for him to replicate that 28 touchdown to 10 interception season because he's got a really good offense coordinator that comes over from L.A. He's got his band back together in terms of the wide receivers, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, good running back and Rashad White, and they'll get after the ball defensively. They've got playmakers at all three positions, defensive tackle, of course, Vita Vea, a really good linebacker, and then safety Antoine Winfield as well. So I think there's a lot of factors that will decide this contest. Number one, I'm going to point to sacks. I think it comes down to, can Washington get after Baker Mayfield, force him into a turnover, force him into a third and long with a sack? Who's going to lead this team in sacks? We really have no idea. because Montez Sweat is gone, because Chase Young is gone. In comes Cleveland Farrell, Dorrance Armstrong. Second factor is time of possession. I really think both teams want to run the ball. They want to be able to establish the run and then play action off of that, especially Washington with the two running back combo there, B-Rob and Austin Eckler. Three, turnovers. I don't think Washington can win this game on the road without winning the turnover battle. I do not want Jaden Daniels to make mistakes early on. I talked about this in preseason. I want him to play clean. I think it's the same week one. I want him to run. I want him to throw it deep. I want him to take some risks. I don't want him to have any stupid turnovers. A stupid turnover would be him taking a sack and fumbling the ball when you could throw it away. Or him throwing it into triple coverage on third and long just because he's trying to get the first down. Don't have any bad turnovers. We have to win the turnover battle. Number four, biggest factors that will decide this contest, I mentioned time of possession. I'll go back to that with rushing yards. And I think that includes Jaden Daniels on the ground, right? Like, Jaden Daniels, B-Rob, Austin Eckler, I think need to combine to go over 100 and probably 110 yards in this game to give Washington a chance. Special teams mistakes would be number five. And number six, it's a fast start. I really think there's a chance here that whoever wins the first quarter wins this game. I think that teams will adjust to each other, and the second half of this game will be a closer contest. I really don't want Tampa Bay to go right down the field and start with a touchdown, and I'm desperate for Washington to start fast. Want to hear from J.C. Allen, who I had on my show. I asked him, what's the biggest weakness for this Bucs team right now? Let's take a listen.
You know, I think their weakness right now is depth. If something happens to the tackles or the tight ends or, you know, Mike Evans or linebackers, I think they're a cornerback. I think they're in a trouble spot right now. But I think if you wanted to kind of say, as the starters, who's the biggest weakness, I think you can make a case that, inside linebacker, K.J. Britt, he's more of that two-down thumper, hasn't really been tested as a three-down player, stepping in for the enigmatic Devin White. And then maybe cornerback, Jamel Dean hasn't been the perfect vision of health over his career, and Zion McCollum, who I think is going to have a breakout year. It's still a little bit untested and new coming into his first season as a full-time starter. So I think you can kind of look at those areas. On the offensive line, Ben Bredesen, I think, is a weak link there. So there's different ways that teams can attack this Bucs roster, and they'll try it early and often with some of those guys that I mentioned. Edge rusher room could be deeper, too. They don't have a true premier number one guy, although I do think Yaya Diaby is going to take a big step this season.
Two of the weaknesses he mentioned that I want Washington to take advantage of, and he's not the only one to say this. When I was doing a little research into the Bucs and what went wrong last year, at times it was the secondary. Teams were able to throw on them, just like they were able to throw on teams, right? Mike Evans was wide open at times downfield last year because of defensive issues. They had a lot of explosive plays. They gave up a lot of explosive plays. The second weakness he pointed to was on that offensive line. I want Washington to try to take advantage of that. But that's why I'm putting to the rushing game, because if you can establish the run, make Tampa put another guy in the box, then you're really going to get these one-on-one matchups on the outside. You could take advantage of the Bucs' secondary not being as strong as it could be. As we continue to go behind the enemy lines here on AWOD Radio, J.P. Finley and B. Mitch had Rondae Barber on the show. Rondae, of course, starred for Tampa Bay. Local guy here from Virginia, but starred for Tampa Bay for the Bucs. Won a Super Bowl, and he's definitely familiar with Todd Bowles and what his defense can do. Let's take a listen to Rondae Barber on Todd Bowles getting after young QBs.
Well, I think Todd has a pretty steady history of blitzing the hell out of young quarterbacks. So yes, expect a lot of that. I don't know where they are in terms of, I could look up the stats, or you could look up the stats in terms of percentage of blitzes, but he's perpetually in the top 10 anyways. But I know with young quarterbacks, he likes to get after them. And even more so with running quarterbacks, just more lanes you can occupy, less opportunities you have him to extend plays, which obviously I watched a couple of his preseason games and obviously all of college. You could tell that's what he'd want to do. So expect a lot of five and six man pressures this weekend for young Jaden.
Could sacks be the biggest factor to decide this contest? Can Jaden Daniels wriggle his way out of a few sacks with his legs and his elusiveness, or will he go down because Todd Bowles is just such a genius at sending pressure from all different sides and all different looks? And then defensively for Washington, I mentioned it. Like, who's going to lead this team in sacks this year? Frankie Louvu had a ton last year for Carolina. I don't know if that's going to be his role here. I think it's going to be more of a run stopper at linebacker. Who's going to lead this team in sacks? Will Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne get more sacks this year with Bobby Wagner behind them? Will they be able to play at an elite level? I think the two of those guys playing at their best is going to be so huge on Sunday for Washington. We need those guys to make a huge impact because I believe Vita Vea will make a huge impact on the other side of the ball. And then it comes down to the quarterback battle, right? We've been talking about Jaden Daniels. Well, what about Baker Mayfield, who had 28 touchdowns to just 10 interceptions last year? Can he repeat that success from last year? Here's J.C. Allen, Bucks reporter, talking about QB1 for the Bucks, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I think with Baker, if you look at his career, it's kind of to no fault of his own. It's been a roller coaster, you know, 8 different head coaches, 9 different offensive coordinators. And he had that success as a rookie. Then 2020, he leads the Browns to the playoffs. They're a Chad Henne 12-yard scramble stop away from going to the AFC Championship game.
Right.
And then he gets hurt in 2021, and he you know, plays through those injuries much to the dismay of himself and the team, and he can't replicate that success. And I think that's been the biggest thing. When you look at Baker, you can see that he's had success, you know, rookie year, 2020, last season, is like every other year. And he hasn't been able to duplicate that in a second season. But I think this is he's primed for it. He's in a location he's comfortable with. He's not going through a quarterback battle through training camp. He's got the chemistry, the camaraderie with this offense. They've added on the offensive line. They've added playmakers around him. They lost Dave Canales, sure, but they brought in Liam Cohen, someone he's comfortable with, and running a very, you know, similar system that he ran not only in L.A. when he was out there under McVay, but also last year. So I think this is the year that Baker kind of breaks that, I don't want to call it a curse, but breaks that trend and has a really strong second season with the Buccaneers and back-to-back strong seasons for the first time in his NFL career.
Yeah, so you just heard there. I mean, Baker has not really been able to do back-to-back good seasons. Like you mentioned there, it's kind of in and out with Baker, and he has everything to make it work for this year to be successful again, but one thing he pointed to is he's comfortable. Can Washington make Baker Mayfield uncomfortable? That's going to be crucial on Sunday. Can they move him out of the pocket? Can they force some quick throws? I really don't know what to expect from our defense in terms of how much they're going to blitz. I do think Dan Quinn will blitz more than Jack Del Rio did, who simply was like, yeah, we got a great front four. We're going to send them. I think they will send a safety. I think they will send a corner at times. They'll send multiple linebackers. I think that Dan Quinn is going to blitz, and that's a key to hopefully making Baker Mayfield uncomfortable so that he can't have a great touchdown-to-interception ratio in Week 1 against Washington. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. I've made it clear I'm picking the Commanders to win. If you're not picking your team to win Week 1, why do you watch the game? That's my point, especially when you've had the offseason that Washington has had and all the excitement for JD5. So I made it clear I'm picking the Commanders. How do they get the win? Our first keys to victory of the year coming up next on The Fan.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.